Good to see everyone out. It's great to have the visitors here this morning. You know, Model Mouse was getting food in the kitchen for her little mice that she had with her, when all of a sudden, the cat pounces in. Snatching up the kids, the mama ran for the mouse hole, but it was obvious to Mama Mouse that she wasn't going to make it before the cat caught up with her. Finally, in desperation, she whipped around and she shouted, "Bark, bark!" at the cat. The cat skidded to a halt, turned around, and he ran away. Mama Mouse turned to her babies and she said, "You see how important it is to learn a foreign language?" You know, we usually don't like mice in our house, but I think we can learn a lot from the little mouse I heard about in a few weeks back. Eli was in the woods with his friend Mortimer. It was the last time that they were going to see each other ever again. Hard times had made it impossible for them to continue together. Eli just couldn't take care of Mortimer. While it was hard, Eli had to end their friendship then. Now, Eli was an advertising artist during the Depression days. He had hard times. Not a whole lot of people advertising back then. Not a lot for an illustrationist or whatever he did, an artist to do his work. One day he was working at his desk, and all of a sudden, around the edge, a little mouse came up on top of the top of the desk. He looked at the mouse looked at him, and the mouse kind of started easing and crawling his way slowly towards him. And he was struck by the bravery of the mouse. And how the little mouse, you know, kept trying to, I guess, strike up a relationship with him. So he broke off some cheese from his sandwich that he had. It was hard. And all he had between waking up in the morning and a cup of cold beans at night was that sandwich. Two slices of bread and a piece of cheese in between. Not even any meat. But he broke off a little bit and he put it out there, and the little mouse eased up and slowly crawled up and took the piece and he ate it. Well, he named the mouse Mortimer. You know, the first thing I think we can learn from a little mouse is that it takes a lot of bravery to approach that which is larger than us, that we can't fully understand, that can do so much for us. And in that same way, God wants us to approach Him and be brave about it, just like this little mouse did. You know, we've probably all seen the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and they deal a lot with the Depression era. And the main character in there, he made fun of religious people. He thought they were, I think one time, as stupid as a bag of hammers, he said. And, you know, just superstitious, falling for this religion and stuff like that, or turning to God when times got bad because he didn't really believe in it. And, you know, that's typical with a lot of people today. But the thing is, it takes a lot of bravery to put your whole soul, to put your whole trust in God's hands. And that's what that little mouse did. Because, you know, Eli could have just went and it had been over with. But Eli was intrigued by that. And they struck up a friendship. Seeing the mouse's desire to acquaint himself with him caused Eli to want to know that. And God wants us to get to know Him. He wants us to become acquainted with Him. He wants us to be brave enough to approach Him. Now, I'm sure the little mouse, if he'd have made, you know, funny movements, the little mouse would have scurried off. But he didn't. And God wants us to approach Him with that reverence. Oh, we know what we deserve. We know the sins of our life. We know what we've done in life. And we know what we deserve. But God calls us to want more than that. He calls us to take our place next to Him. So this little mouse did this. And their relationship, every day, the little mouse would pop up about the same time. He'd break off a little bit of his cheese off his sandwich and he'd feed the mouse. Pretty soon, the little mouse crawled in his hand and slept. And every day, little mouse would eat. Little mouse would crawl in his hand and sleep for a few hours. Eli would do what little work he had. The little mouse just there, sleeping away. The little mouse would wake up, and Mortimer would run off and go back into the hole in the wall where he lived. You know, God wants us to be able to sleep and rest. You know, G. Campbell Morgan, he said that waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, actively under command. Second, readiness for any new command. Third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. You know, it's so hard to wait and do nothing. For a lot of us, you know, we have to be doing something. For a lot of us, we can't sit still. Abraham and Sarah were like that. God told them, I don't care how old you are, you're going to have a baby. And she laughed. She thought that was funny. Well, they said, you know, I guess we're going to have to help God out. I guess we're going to have to find a way. They didn't wait on God. But God still fulfilled that in them. Isaiah 64, verse 4 tells us, since ancient times no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, nor no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. When we wait for God, let God show us the way. Let Him work in our lives. Let Him make those paths clear. You know, sometimes in life, you know, they say, well, when one door closes, another one opens. Sometimes it feels like one door closes and the only way to get out is to jump through the window to escape the flames of what's coming. God will provide a way if we'll wait on Him, if we'll let Him guide us down that path. And it's hard to wait. I know it is. We want to act. We want to do things. We want to be impetuous and be there. Kind of like Peter. You know, we'll take up the sword, Lord, and we'll take over Jerusalem and all that. We'll make you king and all that. And he was ready to rumble with the guard. But that was not Jesus' way. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul relates it this way. Same verse. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Paul took the word waiting and translated it into love. He took that word wait and translated it into love. If you love God, you'll let God guide your way. Now, God's not a leprechaun. He's not going to guide you to a pot of gold. There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But God will guide our way, and He'll make it for us through. As we face tough times, we don't know what's before us. We don't know what our struggles are. We don't know what we're going to have to go through. If a person faces an illness, they don't know if the outcome is going to be that they have life beyond that illness. They don't know that. But as long as we have God, as long as we have Christ in our life, then our life is eternal, and we know at least where we're going if it's not on this earth. He said He will meet our needs and provide for us. There will be a way. We will get by. What about when times are tough or things change or they don't change for the better? Well, times did become tougher than they were, so to speak. Eli had to give up his cheese sandwich. The only thing he ate between a plate of cold beans at night, that's all he had. He had to give up that sandwich. Eli was eating once a day. Now back in the woods, Eli was sad as he watched Mortimer look around at the grand trees that were out there. He looked at Eli, little mouse scurried off, make his home in a new place. What a sad occasion to lose his little friend. Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You know, they did that. You know, Isaiah said that when they were in captivity. They were weary of being ruled over by others. And they didn't think that God was going to deliver them anymore. They thought this was it. God's not hearing us. God's not coming. You know, we all think that God is like a microwave. Press a few buttons and a minute later, our needs are met. God's not like that, and they weren't like that in Isaiah's time. Though they thought just like we did. When we wait on God, when we trust God, He is going to bring us through. They were there for a certain reason. They were there because they were being taught a lesson of their iniquity and not following God. They didn't follow Him, and they were punished for it. They learned a lesson. Now, we don't wish trials and tribulations on people, but if we trust God, we can come out of those things stronger than we did. You know, Eli didn't have much of a choice. He wasn't eating anymore. So little Mortimer had to find a new place where he could eat because he wasn't going to be able to get it from him. I don't know if you heard of a person named David Brainerd. He had a book, and it's actually a diary on his work amongst the Indians in North America. He died young. There's one sentence in his diary that's very touching. He mentioned that he makes it a goal that he wants to be the man on earth in his generation closest to the Lord. So that in his generation, when God looks down, God will say, like He said with Job, "Have you considered my servant Job?" That's what God said to Satan. Have you considered Job? He's a good man. He's a faithful man. Is that our desire and goal in life? That God would say to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Or Carol? Or Mary? Or Bob? Have you considered them on this earth? You've got all these people out here engaging in wickedry. But have you considered my son?" Is that our goal in life, that we look that God would say that about us? That was that young man's goal in life. That's what we strive for. If we'll wait on God and open our eyes and ears and listen to Him, He will guide our paths where they need to go. So, you might be wondering, why did Eli return Mortimer to the woods and an uncertain fate? It's not too good out there for mice. I see all the hawks flying around, and I see every once in a while one strike the ground and stand there. I can't see what he's got, but I know what he's got. He found him a mouse. He found him something to eat. And he's waiting for the right time. Well, Eli lived above a restaurant. He knew the shop owner. He knew that shop owner baited his trap with the same cheese that Eli had on that sandwich. And he knew that starving mouse, that when he got hungry enough, would go down and meet that fate. He knew that it would be better for him to take his chances in the woods than to have a certain death there. You know, as we said before, God opens a door when one closes, or a way is made when one needs to be made. And in that way, you know, we don't know what's ahead. We may face some tough times, but you know, in those tough times, we may be strengthened. We don't know. If we lived on that mansion on the hill, what would our condition be? What would happen to us? What does God plan for? Have you ever driven someplace and there's a terrible accident? And you thought, wow, if I were to press the accelerator and went through that other light, I might have been here several seconds earlier or a minute or two earlier, and I might have been in that accident. Have you ever thought about those times in life, well, wow, if I could have found my car keys, I'd have been a few minutes down the road or something like that. But if I wanted to win here when the tornado hit or something like that, sometimes our circumstances, even though they're not as good as they used to be, are leading us to something and bringing us to a better place, saving us from something that we needed to be saved from. So, the future is uncertain. We don't know what it holds. But God makes our eternal future certain. And He says that He'll get us through the tough times, that He'll lead our path down the right way. If we wait and follow Him and listen to God, we'll make it there. So, are you wondering who Eli and Mortimer are? Well, you might know Eli by his full name, Walter Elias Disney. And Mortimer, you might know him better by what his Walt Disney's wife called him, and that was Mickey. And I thought it was so great that Mickey Mouse is going to live on forever on the screen as long as God allows this earth to be here. That little mouse almost has, you know, an eternal life like we're going to have with God. If we'll approach God, if we'll trust God, if we'll be brave enough to let God work in our lives and take control of our lives and wait on Him, then He will get us through life and make the best decisions for us and take us through. And in the end, we will live forever with Him because He loves us. God's reward for our bravery and waiting on Him has made it possible for us to live eternally with Him. An unknown poet once wrote, "I heard a voice at evening slowly say, bear not your yesterdays into tomorrow, nor load this week with last week's load of sorrow. Lift all your burdens as they come, nor try to weigh the present with the by and by. One step and then another take you away. Live day by day." I guess you can learn a lot from a little mouse. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your needs may be. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?